Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6, and 23 and 24. Specific title, You Know Me. You have searched me, Lord, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and You lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, test us today. Test our thoughts. And Lord, as You do that, lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bono, the lead singer of U2. Any U2 fans out there? I see that hand. He said the Psalms can be divided into two categories. He said the Psalms can be divided into gospel songs or the blues. Gospel songs or the blues. Now, theologically, they can be divided into more categories than that, but for a rock star, I think that's pretty good. The Psalms can be divided into gospel songs or the blues. Well, this is a good old Southern praise Jesus gospel song. And nowhere are the great attributes of God, His omniscience, His omnipresence, and His omnipotence, seen more clearly and spoken of as well as they are in this magnificent gospel song, this gospel psalm. Now, David did not write this gospel song about himself alone. The psalm is addressed to the director of music. And when it is, you see, it is directed to the director of music, that means it is meant to be put to music and used for public worship. It is be used in the congregation to sing out loud this gospel song. So the words of this psalm, the ones that we read today, and all of the psalm can be adopted by every member of the congregation today. In fact, every person in the world by faith may say, Lord, You have searched me and You know me. So as the psalmist did, as David did today, I'm going to refer to God as You. You. Over and over again, not just in the passages we read, but in the whole psalm, he says, You know me. You know my thoughts. You have searched me. I'm going to make many references today to me, to my, and I. Because over and over again, he says, You know me. You know my thoughts. He says this over and over again today. And when I say that, I'm not just referring to myself. Every time I say me, my, or I, I'm talking about you. So let's talk about the you who knows everything about me. Number one in your bulletins. You know me not just on a surface level. You know me not just on a surface level. You have searched me. Search. The primary meaning of that word that David chose to use in the Hebrew means to search the earth by digging. As for water, which would be needed in that arid climate, or for precious metals, gold and silver. So he uses the word for mining, for excavating the land. You have searched me like a miner digs into the earth. You've gone below the surface. A secondary meaning would be to search accurately and closely. So like a miner, you have did a close inspection to see what is under the surface. God does not know you just on the surface level. And God does not want to know you just on the surface level. You dig deep to know the real me. You see, many just know me on the surface. The things that they see, the one action that they see from me, they even can judge my whole life by the surface. They can figure me out by just one thing that I say. They've gotten me completely figured out on a surface level. But God, you go below the surface. You dig deep and you know me. As the result of this search, as the result of this digging, you see all that is in my heart. Nothing about me can be concealed from you. You know me. A judge searches a case. A judge digs into a case to find what is right, what is just, what is true. A physician digs into the nature of a disease to do everything he or she can to heal the patient. A philosopher digs deep into the reason of things in this universe. But as well as they search, as well as they dig, their search is limited because they are limited. But you, God, are not limited when it comes to knowing me. There is no limitations upon God. He is unlimited. You are unlimited in knowing me. You see, God's knowledge of us differs from our knowledge of each other. You see, His knowledge is independent. When we receive knowledge, when we receive instruction, we receive it from teachers, from books, from the internet, from other people, from outside of ourself sources. We receive knowledge from outside of ourselves. But you receive your knowledge from within your being. God receives His knowledge, your knowledge, from within your very being. Your knowledge is independent as yourself. He does not learn, He does not study. He is knowledge, He is knowing, so He knows everything. You do not have to look up anything about me because you know me. You lack no knowledge about me. You distinguish me in a crowd. You know me in a crowd. Even if the crowd numbers 7 billion in this world, He could pick me out. You can pick me out because you know me. Research has shown that eyewitnesses to a crime can get the facts about the crime wrong. Research has shown that eyewitnesses to a crime can get the person who committed the crime wrong. People have been sent to jail and later freed by DNA evidence because eyewitnesses identified them as wrong. They testified under oath, I saw that person, I know it was them, I could pick them out of the crowd. And when the DNA evidence came out years later, it turns out that they were wrong. How do we get things wrong? How do eyewitnesses get things wrong? Someone they know, they put their hand on a Bible and say, I swear it was them. I swear to God it was them. How do we get those things wrong? Because we human beings see people many times on a surface level. But you never get me wrong. You never wrongly accuse me. You know me better than my family. You know me better than my friends, and you know me better than I know me. That's who you are. John 21:17. Simon Peter said this about the risen Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, you know all things. And I just want you to know today, Jesus is the you who knows all things about me. He is that God. He is the you who knows all things about me. Number two. You know my thoughts. You know my thoughts. There's nothing more close than a thought. There's nothing quicker than a thought. A thought is always unknown to others. You don't know what the person beside you is thinking right now. But a thought is often unobserved by the person who is thinking the thought. Just sitting there, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I was thinking about that. I didn't even realize it till just now. But you observe my thoughts, even though they're unnoticed by anybody else. You observe my thoughts. The thoughts that I didn't even realize I was thinking, you observe those thoughts, my thoughts, even before I think them, long after I have forgotten them, you know my thoughts and you remember my thoughts. Do you know what you were doing and thinking on July 23rd, 2014? 3 years ago from this very day, you don't remember? Your memory's that bad? I know what I was doing, and I know what I was thinking because my memory is perfect. And I keep a journal, and I went and I read what I was doing. On July 23rd, 2014, I put together the shelves to go in the our new shed that Jim and Joyce gave us. It was hot. We went out to Sonic, my wife, Elizabeth, and I, with the Goodwins, who the next day were going to be leaving for France. We had ice cream. I enjoyed it. We went and we found a geocache. If you know what that is, it's a game where you search for things. It was at Home Depot. It was very, very hot. And as I read this, the memories came flooding back, but they were distant memories. I had forgotten them. I didn't remember what I was doing. But however great the distance between you and me can seem to be. You are not far from my thoughts. Even though it seems like you are afar from my thoughts, as the psalmist says, apparently you are not shut up in heaven because you see my thoughts. You do not neglect human affairs. And while my thoughts were just forming, you see them. Long before my thoughts have been fully developed, you know my thoughts. Some of us have weird thoughts. Even while I was preaching, you've had some weird thoughts. Bunch of weirdos. I'm sitting here preaching the Word of God, and you're thinking weird stuff. Some of you are thinking about Logan's. Like, oh, man. Some of you are imagining about being a superhero. You're Spider-Man or something. Some of you are thinking about a craving that you have, whatever it may be. I'm not here to judge your thoughts. They're your thoughts. You can have them. Where did that thought come from? You didn't even mean to think it, but something I said or just happened, something happened and I triggered a thought from years ago. You were thinking about something that happened 40 years ago, 30 years ago when your kids were little. You don't know where the thought came from, but you know my thoughts. And you know where they came from. You see, God is like a really good counselor, or a really good psychiatrist, if you will. We try to hide our thoughts because our thoughts can make us seem less than. They can make us seem weird. They can make us seem strange. And some thoughts we definitely should keep to ourselves. But a good counselor, a good psychiatrist, a good sociologist will help you get to the bottom of your thoughts. They will help you understand why the thought was there to begin with, where the thought came from. And you help me to focus my thoughts. You help me understand where the thought came from to begin with, and you help me even learn how to focus my thoughts and have the right thoughts. You are my wonderful counselor. Isaiah said that would be a nickname for Messiah Jesus. He is our wonderful counselor. You help us get to the bottom of our thoughts. John 2:25. Jesus did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Jesus is the you who knows all of my thoughts. Number three, you know everything I do and say. You know everything I do and say. You know me in my work and rest. You know me in my daily walk. You know me in my nightly unwinding. You know me in my recreation. In entertainment, you know me. When I sit down and when I stand up, you know me. When I am walking my path, you know me. When I call it a night, you know me. When I am trying to sleep, when these anxious thoughts are keeping me awake, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I've been in bed for a while and I just can't go to sleep, you know me, and you know my thoughts, and you know my actions, and you know the words that are on my mind. So I can let my mind rest because you stay up and you stay awake and you know my thoughts. You see, my thoughts are in good hands, so I can rest and he'll stay up with them. I can go to sleep and let them go to you. What I say and the meaning behind my words, you know me. You see, to hear what is spoken does not imply full knowledge of what is said. For my words may be false. My words may be insincere. My words may be hypocritical. I might not even understand my own words. It's not what you said, it's how you said it. Anybody ever said that to you before? It's not what you said, it's how you said it. Has your spouse, has your boyfriend, girlfriend said that to you before? You go, oh no, it's not just what I said, it's how did I say it? Sometimes I don't even understand why I said what I said. Sometimes I wish I could take back what I said. Have you ever wished you could take back what you said? But you know exactly what I said. And you know exactly what I meant. But even more so than that, he knows all the years that are behind my words. He knows all the meaning. He knows every circumstance that happened in the past that's gotten me to this point that I would say such a thing. You know me. You know when I need to be corrected. You know when I need to be encouraged, and you know when I need compassion about the things that I have said and the things that I have done. See, other people don't. They can get those mixed up. They can correct you when you need to be encouraged. They can give you compassion when you need to be corrected. But you know me. Jesus told Simon Peter what he would say and what he would do before he said it and before he did it, because you know me. He told Simon Peter, you will deny me 3 times with your words. And Jesus knew all the confusion, all the fear, all the doubt that was behind Peter that caused him to act that way, that caused him to speak that way. Because you know me. But Jesus also knew that Peter loved him and wanted to say that and wanted to show him that he loved him with his action, in spite of those denying words, in spite of those denying actions. And later, after he was risen from the dead, when he saw Peter again, he asked him, do you love me? And he knew Peter was dying to say it. Yes, you know I love you. Yes, you know I love you. Yes, you know I love you. Peter even said, you know all things. You know that I love you. So just as Peter was shamed by his words, and just as you have been shamed by your words that Jesus knew you would say before you said them, in the same way we're restored by our words that Jesus desires for us to say, because you know me. Just as you were shamed by your actions, Jesus will restore and save, and you will be redeemed and judged and counted worthy by your actions. Not by good works, but because Jesus calls you into those. Because you know me. And number four, I should constantly pray to such a God. I guess I could say I should consistently as well pray to such a God. To that type of God who knows me, you know me, I should pray to that God. What we know is almost as nothing in comparison to what we don't know. You know a lot. But in comparison to all the things you don't know, it's just a little bit of things you don't, of things you know. Our knowledge is a drop in the bucket. And it is nothing compared to the divine ocean. Listen to this. We have questions for God. You have questions for God. You want to ask God some things. You want to know some things. You want to stand before God. And when I stand before God, there's some things I got to ask him. And I need some answers. But listen. Ultimately, when we stand before God, even though we think we're going to question him, it is he who will question us. Job. He had so many questions for God, but they boiled down to one question. His main question is, why did you allow this to happen to me? And my guess is your question, my question when I stand before God would be, why did you, you're all powerful, all knowing everywhere, you have all this power, why did you allow this to happen to me? But when Job finally does stand before God at the end of the book of Job in the last couple of chapters, when God reminds Job of how little Job knows, he says, where were you when I created the vastness, the depths, and the complexity of this universe? During their conversation, Job realizes you know more than me. And maybe, just maybe, you know what you are doing even more so than me. Can you believe that? God knows what he's doing more than I know what I am doing. Secrecy does not hide from you. Secret things hide from me. I've been fooled by many people. I thought about this weekend. People that have gone through divorces have fooled me. I thought of three people who went through a divorce and they lied to me, to my face, and I was deceived, I was fooled because they were good at keeping secrets. But secrecy does not hide from you. Hypocrisy does not deceive you. Somebody being a hypocrite, me being a hypocrite, I can fool people. You can fool people, but I can't fool you. Lapse of time does not cause you to forget. Have you forgotten a few things over the years? He doesn't. So my cause is in the hands of the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful, everywhere you. Everywhere God. So my desire is to be proved and tested by you so that I might not be under the delusion of self-deception, so that I may not indulge in any false hopes, so that I may not cherish any improper feelings or desires. So I say, we say today, search me, O God, and know my heart. And that is a prayer, that is an appeal that can only be made out of a trust in a known God. You know me, but now we can know him. I can know you. How do we do that? Do you know him? Do you know what God is like? Well, God is like Jesus. If you want to know God, you know Jesus, because God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. There is never a time when God was not like Jesus. Now, you and I, we haven't always known this because the things that we know are limited. We haven't always known this, but Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, now we do. John said this in John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. We know him because Jesus has made him known. And now I know you. Because of Jesus, I know you. You know me, but because of Jesus, I know you. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. And I close with this last passage of Scripture. This is one of my first sermons that I ever preached. I was at a youth meeting. There was about 40 or 50 young people there in Florence, South Carolina. And I preached this passage of Scripture. John chapter 1, verses 47 through 50. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." I was preaching that sermon in front of about 40, 50 teenagers. And I titled the sermon, "I saw you, I saw you, I saw you." Jesus saw Nathanael before he ever saw him. He said, "I saw you under the fig tree. You were praying. I saw you." And I kept saying, "I saw you, I saw you." And a phrase kept coming out of my mouth. It wasn't in my notes. Jesus saw you walking down the street. He saw you walking down the street. I said that about 10, 15 times in that sermon. You weren't supposed to be here, but Jesus saw you walking down the street. And these are teenagers I'm speaking to. They weren't walking down the street. Parents dropped them off, driving their own cars. I said, "Jesus saw you walking down the street. He saw you walking down the street. Saw you walking down the street." And when I got through, I gave an altar call, and one person came forward, a 55-year-old African-American male who was sitting at the back of the church, and I didn't even notice him. He was out of place. This was 50 white children. And I'm like, what is this 55-year-old African-American male doing at this youth service? I said, "Are you one of the youth workers?" He said, "No." I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I was walking down the street." And one of those teenagers said, "Hey, you want to come to church?" And I said, "I guess." He said, "I'm basically homeless. I just wanted to get off the streets. So I came in here." And every time you said that, I'm like, is he talking to me? And I finally realized it was God talking to me. And I prayed the prayer of salvation, the prayer of faith with that man. That man who wasn't supposed to be, he wasn't supposed to be there. He was out of place. But God said, I know you, and I want you to know me. And he got him there. And God said, "I know you, and now because of my son Jesus, you can know me." Do you believe Jesus knows you? Well, if you believe that, you're going to see even greater things than that. We profess and we proclaim that today. Lord, let us see greater things than that. The fact that you even know us, that we'll see even greater things, even greater things. I encourage us to live for Jesus this week. You're living for Jesus, paper. What person knows you better than anyone? Do you believe God knows you better than they do? Number two, do you believe Jesus knows your thoughts and is your wonderful counselor? Number three, in what ways can you surrender your words and actions to Jesus? And number four, in what ways can you spend time with God who knows you best? Is that with Jesus? Answer those questions. Answer them slowly. And he'll help you answer them. Because he knows you. And he wants you to know him. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Let's just thank him this morning that he knows us. Just tell him, say, you know me. You know me. Just tell him that. You know me. I believe that. You know me. You know me. Thank you that you know me. Thank you that you know my thoughts. You're my wonderful counselor. You're not disturbed by my thoughts. Sometimes I'm disturbed by my own thoughts. Have you ever been disturbed by your own thoughts? But you're not, because you're the wonderful counselor. You know every word. Every word that's on my lips before I speak it, you know it. Sometimes I'm disturbed by my words. Have you ever been disturbed by your words? But you know all the years and the frustration that brought me to say those words. You know me. You know me. You know when I need to be corrected. My words need to be corrected. You know when I need compassion. You know me. You know me. And you know my actions. You know why I did what I did. And I've been embarrassed by that. It was sin and I have to repent. But you know me. You know everything that went into that action. You know me. And you've been gracious. Lord, I thank you for your graciousness. You know me, and now you sent your son Jesus so I can know you. Would you just tell them that now? In Jesus' name, I know you. I know you. I know you. I know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Out of 7 billion people, he can pick you out of a crowd. Nobody else can do that. Your mama couldn't do that. Your daddy couldn't do that. Your husband, your wife, your parents could not do that. Your children could not do that. But God can pick you out of a crowd. That's how well he knows you. So Lord, we thank you this day that you know us. And in Jesus' name, we thank you that I know you. We just whisper that as a closing today. Say, you know me. Say, you know me. And I know you. You know me. In Jesus' name, I know you. That's the best news you'll ever hear. That's the gospel. That's good news. Let's stand and sing to the God who knows us today.
Grace out on me, mercy me when I
we thank you one more time that you know me. And in Jesus' name, I know you. Thank you. We honor you this day. And Lord, just bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. May you be gracious to them. And may you give every person here your peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, the strong Son of God. Amen. Amen.